Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel lesson in honor of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Gospel lesson for today is taken from the Gospel according to St. John chapter 10, beginning with verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it's good to be here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and share God's word with each and every one of you this morning. And so I say, good morning, Emmanuel, again. The portrayal of Jesus as the good shepherd is an image that is familiar to all of us. This image of Jesus as the good shepherd, as revealed in sacred scripture, has been painted by artists, has been drawn and sculptured as well by artists over the many, many generations. Today, this art can be found in churches and, of course, in Christian homes around the world. And perhaps some of you have an image, a painting, a drawing, a sculpture of Jesus as the Good Shepherd in your own home. It reminds us, the picture of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, of his undying love and protection and the security that he gives us. Who of us can resist picturing us embrace in the arms of the Good Shepherd, and we are his sheep? Yet while rejoicing in this wonderful relationship that we have with our Lord God, in this shepherd and sheep relationship, we recognize also this morning, and too often in our lives, that we stray from the Lord. Now, this isn't something that we do once in a while, but rather it's something that we confess that we do time and time again. We confess to Almighty God that our straying has led us to sin against him. And as we say, we sin against the Lord by unclean thoughts, words we might say to someone, and actions and deeds. We have caused ourselves sadness by our sin. We have hurt others, and we have done things. All of us have done things that we regret. In fact, as I think of Peter as someone who regretted something in his life, he was probably very mindful and maybe haunted by what had happened to him on the night of the Lord's betrayal for many years. He was mindful that he promised Jesus three times that he would never deny him. But yet we find him on the night of our Lord's betrayal in the high priest's courtyard, denying Jesus three times that he knew him. Our Lord forgave Peter, and he forgave all the disciples who had abandoned him. And today, with joy, we know that by his grace, he has forgiven each and every one of us. Our Lord in Scripture calls us to repentance, to turn from sin and turn to him, to put our faith and trust in him. It is a precious promise that Peter gives us in his epistle when he reminds us that although we keep on straying, we have been returned to the shepherd's care, to the guardian, the very guardian of our souls. The other day, my wife and I were returning from a trip, and we were driving out in the country along the highway, and I noticed there were sheep there. Of course, that ties in with our text today. And we notice, as probably you notice from time to time when you see them out in the pasture around here in the Clovis area, that they are unattended, that no one is there overlooking the sheep or the flock. They might be protected by some fence, but there's no one in sight to care for them or to defend them in case some animal or prey came upon them. Yet how different this was from the time of our Lord. Of course, things are changed today where we probably don't have to worry about that too much with the sheep out there in the pasture. But back in Jesus' day, it was a different story because prey were around that could attack these animals. Each and every lamb was precious in the sight to the shepherd. There was almost, in fact, a personal relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. Indeed, the shepherd knew each of his sheep. He knew each one of them, in fact, by name. The sheep, on the other hand, knew the voice of the shepherd. When he would call them, they would come. A stranger's voice would actually end up scattering the sheep. The sheep would follow only the voice they were familiar with, only the voice they knew. They would follow only the voice of the shepherd. Now, I find this very fascinating when we think of the account on Easter morning. Easter morning, our Lord bursts forth from the tomb. He rises from the dead in all glory. And he appears to Mary, remember, outside the tomb. He appears to her. At first, she does not recognize that it is Jesus. She does not recognize that it is her risen Lord. And the good shepherd Jesus says to Mary, he calls her by name, Mary. And once he does that, remember, she immediately recognizes Jesus. Overjoyed, she worships him and clasps to him, clinging to him. Yes, you see, here is a great example of how the sheep know the voice of the good shepherd in the account of Mary. Also, in Jesus' time, the shepherd assumed total responsibility for the well-being of the sheep. When the sheep would be gathered in at night into the stockade, the shepherd would actually sleep across the gateway, and literally, as many of us are familiar with from the messages we've heard over time on the Good Shepherd, the shepherd would become the door of the sheepfold, just as Jesus describes, through which no one could pass, and through which no sheep could wander or be exposed to danger. Indeed, the shepherd was willing to lay down his life, if necessary, for the sheep. Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd, and the flock are the believers, you see, the believers who know him and who also know his voice. In our gospel lesson, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. A few verses later in that text, he says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. For each one of us, and for all who believe, Jesus is the good shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes after that one lost sheep. And that one lost sheep is each one of us. Each one of us he comes after to bring us into his kingdom. And he lays down his life for us on Good Friday. He sheds his holy blood to bring about the forgiveness of our sins. He is that perfect atonement that God receives, that perfect blood offering for the sins of the whole world. The writer of Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And Jesus is the one-time sacrifice for all sacrifices that forgives all sins for all people of all time. And that forgiveness is available for all who receive him as Lord and Savior. As Isaiah says, the Lord laid on him, on our Lord Jesus, the iniquity of us all, of all humanity, was placed on him. And as Peter points out in our text, by his wounds, Isaiah points out, by his wounds we are healed, and Peter points out, he bore our sin in his body, in his very, very body, so that we might live righteousness, being put to death by sin. Jesus is our risen Savior, the Good Shepherd, the, as Peter points out, the overseer of the flock of God, who gives his life for his sheep, that we, each one of us here today, and believers everywhere, and believers who lived in the past, and believers who will come in the future, might have eternal life and have a vibrant, living relationship with our God, a new relationship with our Father in heaven. You see, fulfilled are the words of Ezekiel from the Old Testament reading this morning. I will feed my flock. I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. Yes, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, did all of that for us, came into the world to accomplish that very fact. He's the overseer of the flock. He brought us back, returned us to the fold of God. Through his innocent suffering and death on the cross, we are made whole. We die to sin, and again, as Peter points out, we live for righteousness. All of this, again, is accomplished through his sacrificial death on Good Friday, and we rejoice in his powerful resurrection on Easter morning that proves that everything Jesus said and did, of course, is absolutely 100% true. There were hundreds of people who testified to his resurrection, the scripture points out. Not only the disciples, but others. Interestingly, the scriptures also point out following the resurrection of Jesus, many priests went over and became believers as well. And so the church began and grew as the Lord called more into his kingdom. We rejoice today that we as God's sheep are forgiven of our sins. We as sheep can claim the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. We've been restored. We've been returned to the sheepfold through the Good Shepherd. We've been returned to the family of God. Yet Jesus continues to seek after sheep, sheep that do not know him. And sometimes he seeks after us when we sin and stray and keep on straying. The Good Shepherd calls us back to himself through the power of his word and through the sacraments, his love and care and security. He calls us to himself. When Peter wrote his epistle, he was writing to people who were under great stress. They were people who felt threatened. Threatened because they were believers in Jesus. And they needed to hear this message that we hear this morning, this message of joy. In Peter's day, many of them were driven from their homeland. They lost their employment. They had to leave their families behind in some cases. Some died as martyrs because of their faith in Christ. If you notice in the newspapers, on TV, it's still happening, isn't it? The terrible tragedies that are happening to believers around the world who are being persecuted because they simply trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord. We need to pray for those people and for all who are being persecuted. We need to pray daily for the church at large, that God would keep us strong in his word, guide us and direct us to carry out his will and purpose despite what obstacles and challenges we may face. And so in our text, Peter instructs the believers at that time, and instructs us today as well, that we can meet every single challenge that is placed before us in our life, whether it be the church being persecuted or individually with challenges we might have with our health or issues between people. We can meet every challenge by seeking out the Lord Jesus with his guidance and wisdom and putting those things that he has taught us into practice. We remain victors in Christ because of his love and the guidance he gives us through the Holy Spirit, through his word. Like the lamb pictured in Jesus' arms, we can be at peace and feel safe and secure in the loving arms of our Good Shepherd. And through his word and sacrament, he continues again to strengthen and call people to faith. As part of the Christian community, has called us to care for one another. Jesus tells his followers, everyone will know who you are by your love for one another. Through that love, they will know that you are connected to me. And that love is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit at work within you. We are to love one another even as God has loved us and even as God has forgiven us our sins. We show acts of kindness and service. And as under-shepherds of the very, very Good Shepherd, we seek to bring more sheep into the kingdom. That's the mission that Jesus has given his church. Following his resurrection, he reminded them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Baptize all people, teaching them my commandments. That was the mission and the assignment he has given to the church even today. So that the joy that we have in our hearts in knowing and believing in Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, by testifying to them about his accomplishments on our behalf, they too might come to faith and believe. No one really knows what tomorrow is going to bring, but we know we have a loving good shepherd who walks with us each and every day, who continues to guide and direct us in our individual lives as he guides and directs his church, the word, and through the sacraments. And one day when we walk through the valley of the darkness even of death, he will lead us into that glorious new life, eternal life in heaven, where we have eternal fellowship and joy with our Heavenly Father, with our triune God, and fellowship also with the saints who God will gather there to be with us. May God bless us to that end. May God fill our hearts with joy, inexpressible joy that overflows in our lives, whereby we tell others the good news of our Lord's resurrection from the dead and his defeat of sin, so that they too may have new life in his name. Amen. And my friends, now may the peace of Almighty God, which truly transcends all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Please rise as we continue our service with prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day giving you thanks that you sent your only begotten Son into the world to be our good shepherd, that through laying down his life on our behalf, we have received forgiveness of sins, a vibrant relationship with you as your children, and even the promise of eternal life. Continue, we pray, to send your Holy Spirit upon us through the power of your word, whereby you share with us how you want us to be, the salt of the earth, the light of the world, by telling others the good news of the life and salvation we have in Jesus Christ and the peace that we have in knowing you. Bless us, we pray, to that end. Use your church, your people, as under-shepherds of the good shepherd to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, of his life, death, and victorious resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we also pray for our nation and for those in positions of authority over us. We ask, gracious Lord, you would guide and direct them through your word to carry out and enact such laws that benefit all people. Give them wisdom and lead them to work together with one another. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those in the armed forces and those who may be near to us, a family member, a relative, a friend who may be serving, that you would grant your protection upon them, that you would bless them, that they too may have opportunity to share their faith in you with those around them, and that you may use them to bring the gospel to those who are walking in darkness. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, we also ask your blessing upon those who may be celebrating their birthdays or their anniversaries this week or this month within this family of God. Bless them, gracious Lord, and enable them to express their joy for you to those around them by giving thanks for all that they've received in this life. Lord, in your mercy. And Heavenly Father, we pray for those within our hearts and minds we know who are in need of strength of faith, who may be facing some challenge in life or difficulty with their health. For those who are sick and ill, noted within our worship bulletin, we pray for them. Be with these, your servants, gracious Lord, and meet them and provide for their need at this time. Strengthen them in their faith and give them courage as they face their particular problems or illnesses. Grant them, we pray, physical healing and strength as well as spiritual strength at this time. Lord, in your mercy. We bring all of these prayers and all others in our hearts and minds before you now, in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.